It's good to see you all, especially on this Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the mums. And today is a day where we'd like to celebrate the women in our lives, you know. And so it's a special day where we reflect on the value that they bring to us, you know. But also about how, you know, women were integral to the way the world works. You know, without women there to guide and to lead and to nurture and to encourage, many businesses would not be started. You know, many corporations wouldn't exist. You know, people would never step out. And so this is really an encouragement, you know, for women and the role that they play, not just as a partner, but as a lead within families, where they're leading their families, you know. And so I'm greatly encouraged, and we salute you today to all our ladies. I hope you had your Mother's Day breakfasts and all those things that people get on Mother's Day, and hopefully you enjoyed them. I have, you know, my mother's late, so, but I've got my mother-in-law and my wife, you know, and it's always good to go. Yesterday, I'd forgotten to get something. So luckily, because I always, you know, use the excuse, well, she's not my mother, you know. But she's my children's mother, you know. She's my children's mother, you know. So she was very happy with her gift, you know. Yes. And so this morning we have a very special lady who's going to come and share with us. And then I'll get up and finish the service. And I would really like you to put your hands together as we welcome Ms. Claire.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Thank you, pastors, for suggesting I share this morning and trusting me here. So it's very exciting. So your true self, who are you? Why don't you talk to the person next to you? Say, who are you? Who are you? Good question, isn't it? Always a good question. Look, your true self, who are you? You know, what equates your identity, your self-value? As a mum and a woman, you know, you've probably heard lots of mums say, oh, we wear so many hats, okay? We've got the mum hat, the taxi driver hat, the cooking hat, the chef's hat. Most mums work as well. If you don't work, you've still got a full house load of stuff that you do. You've got the school hat, the PTA hat, the church hat. When you come to church and you put your hat on to be a volunteer in church, and while all these things are great and, you know, they are things that we do, you know, sometimes the roles that we play, what we've achieved, what we've done, what people have said about us, sometimes they become our identity. So we're going to just unpack that a little bit this morning. You know, I have different roles that I play during the week. You know, I'm a mum. I'm a mum to a teenager and a four-year-old boy at the same time. So that makes life very interesting. You know, I work at church here part-time, and I look after the media side of things. I also have my own business as a personal stylist. I also volunteer on a Sunday morning, doing the emceeing and other things that I do in church. So, you know, life gets busy, and with kids and all the different things you've got to do with kids, there's so many different hats that we put on. And if you're a mum this morning, you can probably identify with that. If you're a woman, you can probably identify with that. And I assume even the male part of our congregation can identify with that, especially in today's day and age. We do have a lot of things that society demands on us, a lot of things that work demands on us. And, you know, we do, you know, volunteer our time in church. So lots and lots of different hats. So, you know, we can get so busy doing everything, being everything to everyone, that we forget who we truly are. Or sometimes we become so overwhelmed that we can lose sight of who we are. You know, and multiple sources contribute to our self-perception, some positive and some negative. You know, being a mum's generally a positive thing. You know, expectations of ourselves we put on us, expectations of others. You know, some people, you know, chase a career because they think if I, you know, get so far in my career, that means that I become someone or I become something. You know, sometimes we've got great achievements that we make through music or, you know, art or all different things that we've achieved in our lives. And while those things are great things, if they become just who we are, well, what happens when difficult circumstances come along? I mean, this past year that we've faced, 2020, the year we'd like to completely wipe from history, but it came and it went and we're still standing. But your value, if your value is to do with your career, well, you're probably at home for 6 months. You know, if your value comes from your friends, well, you wouldn't have been able to see them except on Zoom. So, you know, while these outside things are great, sometimes life happens, and if our value is just on those things, we can sometimes have a personality crisis. So today, we don't want to take a severe beating when life changes, do we? We want to be able to stand steadfast. So what does God say about us? What does God say about our value? You know that God actually made each and every one of us with a unique blueprint. You know, you and I have the exact combination that makes us who we are. No one is exactly the same as us, and no one can do what we have been designed to do. So Psalm 139, love this psalm, verse 13 and 16, I'm going to read to you this morning. So you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So, amazing God. You know, God had a plan for you even before you were reality on this earth. You know, there's an interesting parallel that I've discovered in my job as a personal stylist or an image consultant. One of the things that I love to do when I work with clients is, you know, I help them with their wardrobes, and I actually get, you choose colours that suit them and things that suit their body shape and what kind of wardrobe works for different occasions that they need to go to. And those are all great. But the other thing that's just as important is finding out who they are. So I ask lots of questions. You know, what do you like doing? What excites you? What makes you passionate? What sort of even gets you fired up? You know, some people are really creative and out there. Some people are more quiet and reserved. All those things are important. And one of the things that I like to do is teach my clients to not just dress according to the occasion you're going to or just putting clothes on, but actually dress to show who you are. And one of the things that I've discovered when doing my image consultancy training was in colour analysis. What we do, that is about finding the best colours that suit you. And so we look at a few different things. So it's your skin, whether you're warm or cool toned, your hair, your eyes, even your face shape and the way that your face is presented. All these features kind of come together to suggest different colours that work for you. And it could be colours, you might have a palette that is all about bright, warm, happy, bold colours. Or your palette might be something a little bit more softer and calmer and sort of muted in colours. And interestingly, as the science and as these sorts of ideas with image consultancy have developed over the years, they have found that there is a parallel between your features, your colours, and your actual personality. So someone who suits a bright kind of palette, like me, I see bright, warm, happy colours. I have a very bright, warm, happy, bubbly personality. But then I have other clients who suit more of the softer colours, and they're more reserved and they're quieter, they're more of a homebody. And obviously your personality comes out within that. So, you know, we're all sitting there going, oh, wow, that's fascinating. And I know that's God. That is God, because the outside and the inside. You know, you can actually see how, you know, God hasn't just given you brown hair and blue eyes and so height. God's given you all these things that link together. There is a parallel, a correlation between what is inside you and what you are. So no one's a mistake. Nobody has just been accidentally given values and things. God has created you from the outside and the inside out to be who you are. So, our true self comes from what God says about us. You know, with God's help, we can actually build our identity on who He believes we are. You know, we can exchange our old self-identity that is designed or defined by our roles and responsibilities for a new true self-identity that enables us to express ourselves through our roles and responsibilities. In other words, whether you've got your hat mum on, or your dad mum, or your dad hat, your friend hat, your church hat, your work hat, you can be confidently who you are within those roles. And if one of those roles changes, let's face it, life is fluid. It changes on a regular basis. You know, you won't have a personality crisis because who you are is defined by God and not the roles that you play. Isn't that good? God has created masterpieces in each and every one of you. And Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that He has planned for us long ago." You know, when our identity is set in Christ, when it's rooted in Christ, we have a confidence, we have a strength in who we are. You know, we have joy regardless of what happens in life. We have the ability to stand steadfast. You remain stable no matter what. Your truth is what God says about you. You know, you are deeply loved by God. That's a plus. You are free, forgiven and free. And you are His masterpiece. So today, church, I just want to encourage you to open up your heart and allow the truth of who God says you are just to come through in your being today. Thank you, Pastor Stephen.
Well done. Well done. Who was blessed by that? It's really important that, you know, we're going to provide an opportunity at the end that, you know, with some of the things where we replace who God sees us as with things in our life. And the truth is that God is not going to share first place with anybody. And so what happens, you see, is that there are things where God Himself will shake the tree. And the reason that God shakes the tree is so that there's alignment in our lives. So we know that the enemy can come and attack us, which is quite easy, because if the enemy comes to attack us, we have God on our side. But there are times where God Himself comes. So when God comes against us, it's not to hurt us, it's to help us and set us on the right course. And so God is not going to share first place with our job, first place with things in our lives. He is a very jealous God, and He's going to share first place with Himself. And so when that comes, so when we put things in front of who God is, the way we see ourselves, our value, our worth from the things that we do, God is going to shake those worlds. And the reason those worlds are shaken is so that all of a sudden we keep our focus and we put our focus on Christ and say, God, truly, You are number one in my life. Amen? And so as we finish off, you know, women are incubators of faith. Amen? Amen. You know, probably now 2009, my wife gave birth and Buitsepo, who is, she's 11, I think 10. No, 11. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, you know. And yes. I wish I had more, but you know. So she gives birth via cesarean. Immediately they take the young girl and operate on her. And they put her in the you know, that ward, the special ward, neonatal. Which one? Yes, that one, the neonatal ward, ICU. All those combined. You know. So this is a place where the controls that they have in that room are very high, because they recognize that life is in the balance for a lot of these little babies, you know. And an incubator is designed to provide a safe, controlled space for infants to live while their vital organs develop. Now, this is a young girl who her intestines were outside her body when she was born. And so when she was born, they had to cut her up. Well, she was already open. They made a space, and they shoved everything back inside and sewed her up, you know. And so this is just like the faith that we're supposed to carry. So when we say women are incubators of faith, is that they're the one who create the environment, you know, for their families. They create an environment because through their encouraging, as they read the word of God, as faith begins to rise within them, they're the ones when the children get hurt, they pray over them, they encourage the husbands, they bring the family together. You see, women have got this very special role that they play of bringing everybody together. And because they recognize that as we bring people together, the family will survive, and not just survive, but it will thrive. And it's very important that, you know, as people, we do become incubators of faith, people that create the right environments in our lives so that God can begin to work through us. And so last week, Pastor Nigel spoke of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And if we can just reflect back, you know, to the Joshua, before they went into Jericho, they sent out some spies to go check out the land and to scope it out. And so when these two spies arrived in Jericho, they went to Rahab's place. And Rahab, unfortunately, was called Rahab the harlot in the scriptures. And so they went to her place, like probably an inn, a little motel, whatever it may be. And so as they went there, they had gone specifically to scope things out. And so the word went to the king to say, there are men from Israel that have come here to scope the place out. And so as those guys were there, then the king sent people to Rahab's motel and said, look, where are these men? And so she hid these guys and said, look, the guys that you're looking for, they've already gone. So if you chase them after the hills, you're going to find them there. And if we look in the scripture, thanks, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. And so this is after the king's soldiers had come to look for the spies. This is what Rahab said to them, and says, before the spies went to sleep that night, because Rahab had said, look, I'll hide you, and then in the dark of the night, I'll let you guys escape. And so Rahab went up onto the roof to talk with the two spies. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you. Next part. Through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know that you did what you did to Sihon and to Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me, and this is the important part, by the Lord that you'll be kind to me and my family since I have helped you, and give me some guarantee. And then eventually they sort of like said, look, we'll give you a guarantee. And they said, tie this scarlet scarf or whatever on the window, and then when we come in to take the place over, we'll check it out and we'll come and save your family. And so if the band, the worship team, can get up. I asked myself, you know, how did this woman know about these two guys? Was there something was it their dress that gave them away that these guys were spies? Because immediately when the king's people came to say, we're looking for these two Israelites, something switched within Rahab. And all of a sudden, you know, the mother within her, the person that obviously because there she had heard of all the things that God had done, you know, Rahab at that time, there's nothing that tells us that she was obviously a lady from Jericho. She didn't know about God. But as she began to hear about the stories of God, something began to percolate on the inside of her. And so when the opportunity came where she encountered these men, she then said, give me a guarantee. Everybody is afraid of you. And this comes, and as I pondered about that, is that there is a discernment that came upon Rahab for her to, it was revealed to her, I would say, that, you see, this God, through the stories, is a God that is powerful, is a God that does great and mighty things, is a God that moves in people's lives. And if all the stories that we've heard about this God, then guess what? I know the fate that awaits us here in Jericho, and I don't want that to befall me and my family. And I think that this is for the women in our lives, and I know they play this significant role, is that as they meditate on the Word of God, they're allowing that environment, they're creating the environments within their families where God can come in, where they will take a stand and say, you know, this is coming against my teenage daughter, my teenage son. This has come against my baby. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, this has come up against our families. And I know that if we're to come to a prayer meeting when all the chips, the world is attacking us or the enemy is up against us, as a man, I'll just pray, Lord, I just pray that you would come and bless the poor boy or the daughter. Bless them, watch over them, really weak, generic prayers. But mothers have got this thing is that they will take off every, you know, mothers when they come back wearing their nice high-heeled shoes, you know, they will kick off their shoes and begin to really intercede and say, Lord, the devil cannot have my child. The devil cannot keep winning against my family. Whether it's the finances, whatever circumstance comes against us, as they begin to fight for their family, because they've created that environment where God is going to come through and do something. And as the story goes, that discernment is such a powerful thing because it changed the trajectory of Rahab's life and Rahab's family. Because it said that everybody, the guy said, you bring your whole family and we'll save them. You can trust that. You can trust that when the angels went to Sodom and said that to Lot and his wife, and they said, get everybody, get all your family together and escape. But they did not discern that the judgment of the Lord was at hand. It's a complete contrast and difference. And we know that the majority of Lot's family that remained in Sodom and Gomorrah perished. And so this is the strength that women bring in that they're incubators of faith. They create the environment within their families where they will not stand when things come against their children, when things come against the family unit, the togetherness. And this morning, I want to honor the women that are incubators of faith. The women that are not going to sit down and lie down and just close their eyes and go to sleep. But the women that will, even after doing many hours wearing so many different hats, they will take on within themselves that mantle and say, God, this is what your word says. This is what your word says, and that I will not accept anything but victory for my child. I will not accept anything but victory for my family. And so discernment means hearing or listening. Hearing when the voice of God speaks. Because as the voice of God speaks, when you hear and you listen, you're discerning. Ooh, okay, something has shifted. I got to do something. God will give you, because women naturally have got this sixth sense that they have when they can just walk into a place. And I know we all have, but women's is more heightened than men's. And they will just say, something is off in this house. Or even just looking at a child, they can tell they had a bad day at school. Tell me what happened at school. And so I just really feel strongly on my heart this morning. And even just as Claire spoke about the hats that we put on and the identities that we allow, the way that we view ourselves through the things that we do, that if that's you this morning, you know, as the band is going to begin to sing, and I want us to sing the song number 3, I Surrender, you know? I want to know there's a chorus that says, I Surrender. And I just want to give an opportunity that this morning is a time to come for an exchange where you're coming and saying, these are the burdens that you are carrying, all the, you know, the hats that you wear that can become burdensome. And this morning, there's going to be an opportunity to come and lay them down at the King's feet so that when you leave this place, you leave lighter and ready to fight the battles. Because you cannot fight the battles when you're overburdened by things or when you see yourself differently to how God sees you. And so I'll just invite everybody to stand this morning.